Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina Yisrael with an edition of Members of a Better World radio show. I'm going to play a song for you to give us time for our host to get on the line. One moment, please, and here we go. Hope you like it.
Oh,
All right. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel. I am going to open up the mic to the brother that's in Israel. we're still waiting on Prince Raphael to come on the line. One moment, please. Shalom, shalom. Are you there?
Shalom, shalom.
Can you hear me?
I'm here in Israel. Yes, I can hear you, Princess Yaina.
What? Thank you. One moment, please. I have area code. We're still waiting on Prince Raphael to come on the line. If he can push one, we would appreciate it as soon as he gets on the line. We also have area code 815. Shalom, shalom. Who am I speaking to? Area code 815-944.
That's Baba Fred Carter.
Oh, shalom, shalom, Brother Fred Carter.
Shalom.
One moment. We're waiting on Prince Raphael to come on the line. As soon as he's on the line, we'll open up the mic and he'll have the show.
Great.
All right. Just one moment, please. How's everyone doing today?
Excellent. Whenever you can get a day, it's a great day.
That is absolutely correct. Correct. Hold on. I think we have Prince Elron on the phone right now. One moment. Prince, hold on just one moment, please. Prince Elron, are you there?
I am, and thank you, Princess Yaina, and peace and blessings and shalom to everyone within the hearing of the voice.
All right. We're still waiting on Prince Raphael. I'm sure he'll be here momentarily. If you would like to introduce the guest to the audience, that would probably give us a little time.
Okay. The guest, a very special guest, but one who is well-versed in the subject matter as it relates to Israelites, as he considers himself an Israelite also. He's a brother who has been working on your behalf and you didn't know for many, many, many years, and he's done a lot of things to help this process, this program along. He's one of those brothers who've been working in the background, who's been we asked to come forward today to speak to us about some things that he's an expert in. So so that's the kind of brother he is. He has a varied background in many disciplines. He's been a corporate executive. He's been a farm. He has a farm. He realized that he needed a farm and land, and he made that move. But then in doing so, he also has made his farm into a training center where people come from all counties, all many miles around to come to be taught by this brother, to come to the workshops that he's that he offers. He brings children on a regular basis. He has ongoing programs to teach children about their relationship to the land and how important it is to have some to maintain it and have the proper respect for the whole process. So he's someone I'm sure the audience will enjoy, but he's also an intellect, as you will find out as he starts explaining the relationship between farming or agriculture and us. So I don't want to belabor the point, the great brother, and it's a pleasure to have him with us
all
and
right.
to speak to us.
I think we might have Prince Raphael on the line. Prince Raphael, are you on the line?
Absolutely. Ain't no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Great.
Yes, indeed. I'm always with you. No matter what. I want to also add before our guest begins to speak that he's not only this great agriculturist, but he's a great family man and brother and teacher of youngsters. His wife is also a medical doctor and a special kind of medical doctor because she's part of the holistic medicine. She's part of the new health paradigm that we're creating so that our people who suffering from all kinds of diseases, she will be able to guide them in a natural way, scientifically, back to the Creator and the creative way in which we're going to restore our health. So I just want all of that to be known, that we're talking to a very, very special individual, hey, Dr. Neil. So I want you to be assured that we are with the best.
All right. Well, you have the floor, and your mics are open for your host, your co-host, and your guest. I want to make an announcement. If anyone has a question or a concern, please push 1, and we will get you on as soon as Prince Asiel opens up the floor. Thank you.
Just what I want to do is see if Prince Ishaya is on from Israel. Prince, are you there?
I'm here listening. Peace and blessings to you all from the Holy Land.
Thank you, brother.
What I wanted to do during this season of reconciliation with our people, because we have united with the Yehuda Nation as one, I wanted everybody under our listening all over the world to understand that we have no differences with any Israelites anywhere in the world, particularly in Israel and other places. And I wanted Prince Ishaya to read a letter that Better World is putting out. As of today, this is our official position on Dimona and any other Israelites. Prince Ishaya.
Okay, thank you. This is for the hearing of all of our Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters, a formal apology and a pledge of solidarity, service, and recommitment to our families, our communities, and to those individuals and entities who have encouraged and supported us and our existence in the State of Israel over these past 46 years and counting. We, the members of a Better World organization, do set forth this day an official apology to all of the black family and the global black communities of Israelites worldwide for any and all of our shortcomings, misdoings, or dysfunctions to date. We further pledge that from this day forward, with all of our hearts, souls, and might, we shall continue to work to unite as one people of this land, to speak truth to all powers that be, both here and worldwide, to give of ourselves to serve first and foremost only Almighty Yah, and then to serve one another who are his people. We shall not henceforth accept or condone the thoughts or actions of any individuals or entities who would seek to harm or destroy the Israelite family, community, and nation. We remain the vigilant vanguard to our wives, our children, and all of our progeny, and do hereby vow to represent this at the highest level and at all costs. Thus, as of this day, let it be known unto you, the family of the Yah of Israel, that this is a sign that we and the Holy One of Israel are henceforth of one accord. Them that hath an ear, let them hear. Arise and be doing. From the Executive Board of Members of a Better World, National and International.
Thank you, Princess Chaya. I wanted the record to be straight so that nobody who hears our voice, my voice, and those of Better World, wherever we are located, will think that we have any contention or any differences with anybody. And we want them to call us or text us and let us know if they know of anybody that says we do, so that we can resolve or solve whatever the issues are. And that's from me, Prince Asiel, to any of the Hebrew family anywhere in the world. Because we've been meeting with the Hebrews in the last 6-7 months from all over America and the world, and we're setting the record straight. So let me say, to begin this program with, we started last week talking about health of the nation and health of our people and individuals. because we intend for those who are overweight or undernourished or malnourished to get the best information on how to restore the health of God's people. We know that this is a journey, so it's not going to happen overnight, but we intend to apply the intelligence. That's why I've reached back to Baba so that he could explain how valuable the land is. And as we know, in the beginning, God made the land, and I wanted to begin, as we go on, to help L. Ron begin to read. And I'm going to start, Prince L. Ron, with you in Genesis 1 and 29, 1 and 26 first, and then 1 and 29 to set the stage. And then we'll go to 2 and 7. So, Prince L. Ron, Genesis 1, first chapter, and 26 verse.
Genesis, first chapter, 26 verse.
Yeah, first chapter, 26 verse.
And it reads on this wise. There's a caption that says this is the sixth day of the creation, man
yes.
created and given dominion.
Now, the reason that this is important, man was the last part of the creation. He wasn't the first part of the creation, but he's given dominion because God had laid it out what he wanted man to do. So read.
And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them.
So now you see that was a feminine personality at the creation. Genesis 1 and 29.
And it reads on this wise. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food.
Now we know what the food is for this created God, man, and woman, male and female. Genesis 2 and 7.
Genesis, the second chapter and the seventh verse, and the caption reads, that God forms man and prepares Eden for him. And it reads, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground.
Of the dust of the ground, of the dust of the ground. And that's why I brought Fred on, so that he can show the synergy and the relationship between the earth and the creator and the creation, so that we begin to understand we're not just telling you about a diet or you should stop eating what you're eating. We're telling you the optimum and the best for this created being. We don't know what anybody else has been created, but the God of Israel, we're looking at his creation. Continue.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
And now he didn't become a living soul till he had the spirit of the living God in him, and then he understood. Then I want you to jump over further down to where man was placed in the garden. I think it's 2 and 17 or 18.
That would be Genesis 2 and 15, and the caption reads,
the first
first or Edenic covenant?
This is the first covenant with the Creator. We are now, we have made a deal that we sign with our Creator.
And it's a test of obedience.
First thing was that we said we would obey the instructions given to us how to live in this paradise that we've been placed in. Because the Yehuda nation and the better world is embarking on the building of a new world. And a new world based on the principles of the God of Israel. Read.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Now, there was no death until the instructions on obedience and for breaking the agreement that we had with the Creator. If you did not follow the instructions, death then entered the equation. Now, at that point, nobody knew what death was, but we knew it was a violation of this agreement. Read on.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help fit for him.
Now, remember, in this creation there was male and female. But now God is talking directly to this man that he just put breath into. He said, but it's not good for him to live alone. Continue.
And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help fit for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man.
Now here we see there's a special kind of woman for this special kind of man that God had made and placed in the Garden of Eden. He knew that he could not just have any kind of female, so the Hebrew woman that we're talking about is a very special woman. She's a God-created woman. She is the co-author and developer of this world that we're talking about building. Read.
And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
Now, they become one. They're one flesh now. It ain't two people. It's two bodies, but one flesh, one spirit. Now, in Hebrew, the word for man, ish, and in Hebrew, the word for woman, isha. That means that the woman in this creation is a little man. That means they one. And they cling together as one. Now, we'll go at a later time to explain the break. What I call the greatest split was not what Einstein did at the University of Chicago at Stagg Field by splitting the atom as the most destructive force, but the splitting of the atom from its feminine part, to me, has destroyed the whole world and caused the creation and be at war with each other. So let's get back to our special guest, Fred.
Yes, sir.
You pick it up and begin to show the spiritual connection between the spiritual man and woman and the soil or the earth.
You know, really just a privilege and a gift to be able to be present with you. And listening to how we started, you know, I'm not sure how familiar people are with the term composting. And composting is a way we create soil to generate future growth. And that's not only with the land, but it's also an internal state, too, where you learn how to compost the past, where it enriches the soil in a way that you can create new growth. And our community certainly need a lot of composting. Did I lose you?
No.
No, we hear you.
Yeah. We need a lot of composting because we got a lot of things we need to digest and let it add to the soil of our future. And that's what I was hearing you expressing, Bobby. That's really powerful. So composting is something we all need to learn, not just the physical composting with the soil and breaking down recycled vegetables and things like that, creating soil. We need to create new soil, not only physical soil, but spiritual soil too. So composting is something I really believe that we need to learn more of, not just the physical composting, but how do you compost the past? You know, the past is like things that you've eaten and then completely digest, and it's there to create new soil. And so learning about the planet, learning about Earth, and all the wisdom that learning about this will provide is the direction I think we all need to be walking. Because it was always the wisdom of the observation of plants, animals, that all our great wisdom came from. What they call that now is biomimicking. Biomimicking is a term used. Now they call it, it's amazing how we're going back, you know, going back to the perennial principles that our ancestors used to practice all the time. We was here long enough to learn how to mimic God's creation, the wisdom of the plant. You know, all these old terms about being scared as a chicken or slick as a weasel. There's a lot of wisdom in that. So in learning about plants, learning about the earth, and seeing how we are not separate from the earth, not separate from the soil, we are walking soil, as the brother was saying earlier. We are actually walking cosmic soil. Because everything that's in the soil is in us, and everything that's in the soil is in the universe. And we've been disconnected from that because we've been bombarded with what we call an extractive mind and a mind that has decimated the plant life on the, and human life on the planet. But because of the source who sourced us as a people, we can reconnect. We were never really totally unconnected. We were told that we were not connected. So the soil is the foundation of creation. It's also the foundation of our health as community. And so it's important that we reframe and not call it dirt. Dirt implies something that's not alive. Soil is a vibrant, living, created thing that's constantly giving birth to life. And so our community needs to be more integrated into the frame of reference of that we must go back to the land. And for me, this started in 1968 at a Knesset on 79th and Halsted, when in the 60s when people were going back to the land. That's a spiritual state. And so our understanding and being reacquainted to learning how to be in relationship to the soil is the very thing that we've been running from, as my daddy said. My daddy used to always say, he said, boy, you're doing what we all ran away from. We ran away from the soil. We have to return to the soil in consciousness and begin to learn the value of planting and the value of food and how powerful food is. The most political thing that we can do is powerfully control the plate. The plate that we sit down every day and eat the food that we consume. So the plate is the doorway to revolution and freedom. Our plate controls our genetic future. Without controlling that plate, we don't control our genetic future. It's important that we begin again to reestablish our relationship to controlling the plate in our communities, no matter where we are. If we're talking about building community, it always begins with the soil. And controlling the soil and controlling the land is the foundation of all civilized life. And it's the very thing that we've been hoodwinked to not value. We've been told to value the brick that's above the soil, but not the soil. So I like to invite us to really pause and sort of feel the presence of what soil is for us. We are actually walking soil, enlivened with the Spirit of God. So not to honor that and to sacredly honor that is to dishonor God too. We were masterful in our history of masterfully growing things. That's why we ended up in slavery, because we were so masterful. And I can appreciate why we have such painful memories of that. It's the reason why we run away from it. And it's not exclusively geographically confined. It's globally, collectively, we share the same common experience. We've had people here from Zimbabwe, West Africa, from all over the world. The common thread that we all carry as a people is our painful historical relationship with colonialism and their interpretation of what that relationship be to the land. So we must compost this. We must let it go back into the soil and be properly digested so we can begin to recreate our relationship to the land. Right now, we've given the power of the plate to people that have no commitment to our health and well-being. The commitment is only for to make profit and money, and also to make sure that people are systematically designed not to be healthy. So the land is important. We must begin to reestablish our relationship with the soil, if nothing else, for the sake of our children. No one is talking about the impact of how we eat is altering our behavior and what we eat. So it's important that we begin to regain control of the most extraordinary thing that we can do is have a healthy body. Absolutely. Health. And to continue to break this link that's being perpetrated on the world through the current food system that's not designed to empower our bodies, but isn't designed to control us and to make money off of us. And it's something that we do every day, three times a day on average, most of us, 365 days a year, but we never think about it until it's not there. So it's important that we begin to learn and reconnect to our ancestral wisdom about the earth. The first occupation in scriptures was the farmer. The person that feeds you should be deeply honored. And we've been told as a community that the person that farms and being the so-called dirt is a low level of life. But without the person that's in the soil, there would be no life. There's no life without food that nourishes your human form. But not only human form does the land provide. The land is the basis of economic growth. It's not the dollars. The dollars are the units of measure of how much value is being extracted from the earth. It's just a measure. But it's important that we begin to reconnect, and definitely our children must learn the wealth that land and things that comes from the land, not only minerals, but even the fabrics. We was talking earlier about fabrics, and not only fabrics that are not fossil fuel processed materials, but material that are actually grown from a plant-based form. Cloth, materials that are designed from nature that has no harmful impact on our biological well-being. We have been, for the last 60 years, bombarded with this experimental life of chemically produced fabrics. Not fabrics that was formerly produced from plant-based, or even if it was from an animal. We're now in the world where fabrics and materials are produced from fossil fuels and chemicals, but not plant-based chemicals. So the land is very important, especially with our business community. The very thing that we ran away from is the very thing that would free us. We ran away from the land. That's the very thing that's going to liberate our community, is the relationship with the soil. That's something we're fighting over, because the soil itself generates the possibility of a future. Understanding the chemistry of that, which we were very masterful at, we fed the planet. Now we are going around asking people to feed us. That's a major shift. It's an unsustainable way of being when you're begging someone else to feed you. And that's occurring all over, at least in America. Not only in America, but all over the world. We have been hoodwinked from the relationship with the land, and it's something we need to go back and reestablish that connection, honor it, give homage to it, thank God for it, because without the land, without healthy soil, there is no healthy body. We can talk about everything else, technology and all these things are based, most of the technology and the economic system that are designed now is being driven by something that will not be there very long. It's called oil. And that's a source of energy that takes millions of years to create. But looking at the energy from the plant-based life, see, we can generate not just food. We can generate energy from plants, not only from photosynthesis, but from biological processes that can generate fuel. So our relationship with the land is extraordinary, and our need for it should be first thing. We may not think it's important because we're so preoccupied with all these other distracted activities that's going on the world right now. But the one, if you just pause for a moment and look at what's not being said, but look at what's being done. It's two things. My wife don't like me to use this one, but when Richard Pryor told his wife, he said, "Who are you going to believe? What my lips say or what your eyes see?" He got caught in a hotel with a sister. And he was trying to tell everybody, tell his wife. We're listening to the words. We're not looking at what's taking place. What's taking place is a global shift in land ownership. It's no accident that the Chinese are trying to buy up all the farmland that they can get, Korea, North Korea, everywhere. The major funds are going to energy and food. So, not by accident, but this is something that we can't miss this boat. This is the boat that our community don't need to miss. It's in our genes, first of all. We are genetically designed to have a relationship with the plants more than any other group on the planet. And it's our disconnect with that spiritual connection, like a George Washington Carver, who had a very powerful spiritual connection with the soil, the plants, the trees. They talked to him. Out of that relationship, he created hundreds of products that enhance life. And that's who we are. All of us are walking George Washington Carver, but we need to be reawakened to that reality. Our children need to be reawakened to that reality. The future that they have to rebuild will require a different mind. And that mind has to have a strong relationship with Mother Nature. Because just as sure as we're sitting out here, and it might get down into the 50s today in July, which is normally the hottest month of the year, especially if you're farming. You need that heat. So there are a lot of converging changes that are going on the planet in terms of environment. But it's very critical that we absolutely begin to look at reestablishing our relationship to controlling the plate. We have to control the plate. To talk about anything else, you talk about your health, talk about your pockets, and you talk about our pockets, but the food sector is a $7 trillion industry. And it's an area that we're completely not looking at. So not only the value of your health, but the economic value that food is being managed globally could be another doorway of freedom. And I remember they did a study in here in one of the communities in Chicago called Inglewood. They call it a poor community, but they realized after doing the study that that poor community spends $41 million a year on food. And in our state of Illinois, we consume $60 billion worth of food annually. And 99% of that food is being shipped in here from someplace else. I used to think that was something that didn't happen in America. It's a global system. It's a global food system where people in the land that they live, they don't eat the food that they produce. So the relocalizing of food is very critical because that's a reshifting of the wealth in our communities, bringing it back to center. Is critical for development of a community. And another simple thing about it, it's one of the low-hanging fruits. We don't have to worry about the technology so much. If we can just start concentrating on the low-hanging fruit, food, land, basic stuff, water, these are very critical components to developing an ecologically healthy environment for us to exist in. And it's much to do and not enough time. So composting the past, which will allow us to move with a little more velocity in terms of responding to what Mother Nature is telling us that we need to be more responsive to now.
Now, Fred, I just want to jump in for a minute so that the listening audience will understand. Mother Nature provides the food and the resources to sustain her children. That's why nature is called a female, a mother. What we got to understand in the word Hebrew, the word for earth, for land, is aduma, that's feminine. And the word for the created man is Adam. So you see that picture already? Hebrew, aduma, female, Adam, masculine. She produced, the woman produced Adam. She was the first mother to the man created from the earth. I wanted our audience to understand that's why the Creator went inside of Adam and pulled out the rib. Now, the significance of the rib, we'll do this in detail at another time, was that the rib protects the vital organs of the body, the heart, the liver, the kidney, the lungs. This is what is called the soul of the body. So all of these are life-giving and sustaining properties inside the body covered by the rib cage. The rib cage can take a blow of 75 to 80-pound blow so that when you get hit in that area, it doesn't damage any of your life-sustaining properties, which houses the soul of the man and the woman. So I just wanted to begin to continue to let them see how important this is in the building of a new world. It's been such a long time since we built the world, we forgot that we were the builders and the creators of the universe. And in this lecture presentation that Fred is giving, we're laying down the fundamentals. So, by no stretch of the imagination, is this going to be a one-time process. We're developing this program called Description and Prescription. First, we lay out the problem, which is what Fred is doing. And then the second half of this program, we're going to lay out a prescription to tell you what must be done and what you must do. Pick it up from there, Fred.
I like to, brothers, I just want to thank you. What Black Oaks is a place that's open for our people to learn how to grow food in a diversity of processes. Whether you're in an urban setting, rural setting, whether you're in the desert, no matter where you are, we want to be able to share with our community how to grow food, no matter where you're at. And also, our children, learning the diversity of disciplines to create a community that's regenerative and self-generating from what we can control. Now, that's important. Generating your own energy, providing your own foods and materials to build with, growing your own medicine is very important. We're talking about health. You have to be able to grow your own medicine. One good example of a group of people in Cuba, if you can find it, you should be able to find it on YouTube, it's called The Power of Community. How the Cubans, during that special period, they were forced because they couldn't import medication. They had to grow acres of medicinal plants to provide for their people health and well-being because they couldn't import it because the United States had an embargo on Cuba. Now Cuba is considered one of the premier models of what a community can be and be sustainable. They didn't have the ability to buy or import fossil fuel to drive their tractors. So they started growing sugarcane and other crops that allow them to produce the fuel to generate the liquid to move those tractors. So we want to offer to anyone in our community here or create a structure where we can share and get people trained where they can go anywhere. You can drop them anywhere in the world. They can begin to create community.
Well, that's why I wanted to show so that our people who are planning to leave out of America will not leave out of here trying to figure out how they're going to eat, where they're going to sleep, how they're going to make their clothes. This program that I'm introducing with the Yehuda Project, this better world, is to restore you back to your God and Goddess's authority over the dominion of this earth. And this is just one of the lessons to begin to get you trained to be a God and a Goddess again.
Absolutely.
So that never again will you try to figure out how you're going to eat and how you're going to do the thing. Remember, and we're going to touch on that in a minute, what faith is. And I'm going to have the Prince take a moment, Brother Fred, and have him read the 11th chapter of Hebrew. See, all of this is coming out of the Hebrew mind, the male and the female mind. And then we're going to go to the 82nd Psalm to confirm this. So, Prince Elram, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I want you to start off with that.
Yes, sir. The caption reads, "The superiority of the way of faith."
The faith. Faith is, we always say this is a faith-based project. This is a faith-based program. But very few people understand faith beyond what they have created in the world, a religious connotation. Continue.
The sphere of faith.
Now, tell us what a sphere is as it relates to what we're talking about.
As it relates to us, a sphere is a dominion.
But where you have control of something. Remember, Fred is talking about control of your welfare. So, and a sphere is normally a circular entity. So the earth is circular. Read on.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Now, we know scientifically that a substance has weight and occupies space, basic science. So faith is not this ethereal kind of thing. It's a substance. Faith is a substance that has weight. Read on.
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
What we're talking about is what we're hoping for. Right now, you got to conceive it in your mind. And your mind is not just in your head. The body has two hearts. The heart, mind, or brain is guided by God, because the body, the first organ that is created is the heart. And the enemy knows. That's why he got to kill your heart. Every day, 1,000 people die in America of a heart attack. Every day. I think Dr. Mason told us last week. And then the second one is cancer. Every day. 1 million people a year die from these two drugs. Because you got to attack the heart, the spirit-guided organ of the human body. Read on.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders received witness.
He was just telling us that his father told him, boy, you're doing what we ran away from. Going back to the old way, to the ancient of ways, to the original path for sustaining life on this planet. Not waiting on a welfare check, not a piece of plastic. None of these things are needed to sustain the world of God. Go ahead.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
That the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, God's people came about from a word. As we remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And it manifested itself, because Yeshua came to talk about the building of a new world. Well, that's the world that we're building right now. A better world. And the Yehuda nation is building this world so that we now will provide back to our Creator to prove that we were obedient, the first agreement, to do this. Read on.
Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
We're telling you, these words we speak, they are spirit and they are life. Now, you don't have to believe it, but we're doing it. I didn't know how I, as a black boy growing up in Chicago, was going to get to Israel and be there. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a skill that could sustain me. All I knew is that the Spirit in me said, it's time to move. And being obedient, first agreement with God, I got on that plane and went out of here. And I'm telling you, obedience does pay off. How do I know? I'm a witness to it. Read on.
Instances of faith. Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that it was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead, yet speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death.
So here we find in our history how not to die. Everybody keeps saying there are two things that are certain, death and taxes. Well, you can escape taxes over here if you don't live here, so you don't have to pay taxes. Now you're trying to figure out how do we escape death by locking back in the word of God, which is truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you and keep you free. Read on.
That he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God.
Now, I want to go back to Fred. Fred, that was a discussion about the particles of the universe and the soil that we're walking on. Share with us how all of that is connected.
I'm sorry to hear you, good Bob.
I want you to share with us how the particles of the universe that make up the earth soil, and that we come out of that, all of that is one. That we are one with the universal and the repetition of it repeating itself. That the particles settle, that we literally walking in heaven. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. The illusion has been perpetrated that we're separate from the soil. And also that the soil itself, if you do the study of the soil, the biology of the soil, you'll discover that the particles are also cosmic dust. And we're actually walking cosmic dust. We're cosmic. Our soil, our makeup, the very plants that are drawing energy, which is all they're drawing, nutrients, the biological extraction from the soil, and we eat that. We're eating cosmic energy. And we've been taught and conditioned that it's not, if the relationship we have, we're not connected to God when we walk on the planet, when we eat the food. Eating food that is imbued with life is like digesting the Creator. We're eating all the time. That's how we get the spirit, not just from the air, but also from our food. And if our food is grown in soil that's depleted of the natural nutrients and natural elements that allow us to be healthy, we're eating death. And
that's where the GMO products come in.
I'm sorry,
That's where the GMO products come in.
The GMO and also the fertilized biochemical that's been created for war initially. If you look at the history, well, most of your fertilizers were used to kill people during the war.
Right.
They were used to make bombs. They were used to deforest forces so they can kill us and see you. All these chemicals were initially used for war, not for life. And because the wars ended, they had to find other use of these chemicals. So they started hoodwinking the farmers along with the political and financial pressures, because the companies that was producing these chemicals for wars and stuff like that, the DuPonts and those big Dow chemicals and all those big companies, were very powerful companies. So the fertilizer that are being used that is not organic, that's fossil fuel based, most of those products was created during a time, even DDT, was for war, for orchestrating, destroying people in war. They took those products and started using them to put in the soil and to make money to grow food, what they call the Green Revolution. it really wasn't a revolution. It was green, the revolution, not a good revolution. So it's important that we begin to be conscious of what we're walking in. We are actually walking and consuming cosmic energy all the time. You know, it's like the food and the vegetable plants are really, it's, we're consuming the sun. But the plant itself is bedded in the soil, which is cosmically created. When you look into the soil, you see particles from all, from the universe. So the illusion that we've been taught is that we're not related. We have no connection to that whatsoever. And because of that connection and confusion that we've been trained, we don't honor that. And therefore, we begin to do what they call extractive patterns. We call it extractive patterns. We look at the plants. We look at the mountains. We look at the environment. And we look at each other as something that we can extract from. Us, we call that the Ural mind. The Ural mind looks at plants, looks at the mountains, look at the animals, look at human beings from a perspective of what I can extract out of it, not what can be recycled back in to regenerate it. And that's an important distinction because the soil actually has the capacity to regenerate it when things that are taken from it is returned back to it.
Right.
But the system that's in place now don't return anything but processed chemicals or contaminated water or removal of mountains or carbon, more carbon burn in the atmosphere.
Which is why they call it garbage and you call it compost because it can then be recycled to energize cosmic soil that fell out of the heavens because it's organic in nature.
Right.
Continue.
Absolutely. We are walking, eating, moving cosmic soil. And it's important that we honor that and become conscious of that because that's an important step in reclaiming the power of our relationship to the earth.
Brother Fred, I want to stop at this point because we laid out a description and I want to let the audience know that you will be a permanent part of a better world. I'm not going to try to have you put your wisdom of years and years and years of study and work in one lecture. I'm letting them know the kind of God mind that will be coming before them, speaking to them about, various subjects and very life-sustaining and life-regenerating. So I want to stop and ask Sister Yanina if she has any questions that she may anticipate the audience may have from the first part of the description of today's message to God's people all over the world. And if she wants to take a couple of calls right now based on what the audience have heard Brother Fred talk about so that he can respond to them directly himself.
Certainly. Shalom, shalom, everyone. We have a lot of people on the line. They're just listening. I think they're taking in all the information. If you would like to ask the question, please feel free to push one. I think that this is very powerful. It is a privilege, an honor to have someone on the line along with Prince Asiel and members of A Better World that understand the concept of the earth, that understands the concept of the male-female connection. I wrote a sermon when I was in Christianity, and I never got a chance to preach it, but it was a sermon that was called The Brain Made of Mud. And people don't really understand that the computer that we use every day, the computer that controls, that gives us thought, that we believe in, is made from the dirt. And you know, when you just really take that into consideration as a concept, it just it's so far-fetched that you can't believe that something that was made from the dirt has sustainability to be able to move, talk, breathe, eat, smell. You know, we don't really realize that, you know, that we are eternal creatures. Even when this body goes back to the ground, we're still being absorbed by the earth. We're still being absorbed in the earth. It's just powerful. It's just powerful. So, I mean, I am enjoying every minute of it. And I think that what I took from it is that the power of the plate, because we do have the power of the plate to, you know, but my question is, with the soil being in the condition that it's in and all of the pesticides and the things that have been grown, you know, the GMOs, because we talk about that all the time on our radio show on Sunday, how the GMOs have just taken over the food industry, you know, and the organic farms and things like that. The food is extremely expensive. You know, what advice would you give people who are trying to change the way they eat?
The advice I would say is to get the best food that you can get, but grow the food that you really need. So we must begin to grow the food. And if we buying the food, we need to know who we buying the food from. Right now, we don't know who we buying food from. We don't know their practices, even though the label may say organic. It may be labeled, but we know our government here. When the government got into the organic business, we should have been suspect all along. And so the first thing is to know who grow your food and then grow your food. And if you can't directly grow your food, support something that you know is supporting your health and well-being and that you are participating in that. See, we can't trust the existing structure. We have to recreate one that we can trust because we're creating it ourselves, and we know what's on our plate because we was involved in the process of creating that, even maybe not directly all the time. But we designed this. We're like gods. We're going to redesign a food system that's going to be self-sustaining and nourishing us the way we want to be nourished and self-sustaining. We will become the designers. So my thing is that we have to begin to design a system that's going to support our well-being around food. And we can do that. We've done it. And that's the road that I suggest whoever. It's no accident if you look around, you see the other communities are aggressively trying to relocalize. We've had people come into my wife's office who had children, a lot of babies at 8 and 7 years old that was menstruating like women, older women. And they were European babies. So what they just did was to start providing organic foods for their children. That's where a lot of that came from. They were tired too of eating that bad food. They were concerned about the genetic future of their children. So they've been pushing organics for a reason. Eating non-chemically produce foods that are high in nutritional density allows your body an opportunity to detox from that other stuff. So we have to begin to redesign buy where you can buy the best you can buy, but look at how you can actually create a system that can provide the level of food that you know without a doubt in your mind you don't have to worry about turning your back on. You're not questioning what somebody put in the food. They may be having genetically modified components in the food and call it organic. We don't know. We're not. I don't have a personal family member that's in that process. So it's important, first of all, let's look at redesigning something that's going to make sure that we're healthy and we know that it's good, and make sure we keep control over that and not give that away again. See, we gave all that power away for the comforts of not having to do it ourselves. It costs us something to do that. I know it's nice and convenient.
It's our life.
Yeah. So let's do self first. Let's feed ourselves. We're talking about a campaign in our community called Feed Yourself. We need to feed ourselves because we've been giving that power to somebody else to do it, and they haven't done a good job at it.
One of the things that this program is designed to is to go back to what Elijah Muhammad said, do for self. And this is a reactivation of that energy. You talked about Dr. George Washington Carver, who used to go out before the sun came up and walk through the garden that he was growing. And the plant would talk to him because he was organic and he knew the language of the plant. And many people have done the studies about how the plant don't thrive in an antagonistic environment. And it's all energy, as you said earlier, Fred. What I'd like to also put out there for them, you mentioned your wife, and I would like for you to just share with us what kind of health practitioner is she, so that in the future I may be able to ask her if she would join a show where she would do and you would do that ties it all together. So would you please share a little bit about the great doctor?
Right. When you talk about health, it's the extraordinary, even growing food. Most of the farmers on the planet are women. And that's why you can trust this whole movement, because women genetically are designed to make sure we're okay. Sometimes us brothers don't access that and honor that enough. My wife is a physician. She's an MD, board certified in alternative medicine. She went to Cook County, where Dr. Mason went also. And she has a master's in public health. But her style, her process of healing people, she believes, first of all, that the food heals. The food is the doorway to healing. She's a total vegan. She's been that way for, I don't know, since she was 16 years old. And food is the prescription that she started with first. So the thing that we're doing now was really sourced by my wife. And out of her commitment to, when we got married, we made a commitment to create a safe healing space for our community, and that's how we got started. And out of her medical practice, we started a food buying club, because her patients couldn't afford to go to Whole Foods. So this is another thing that we can do. We collectively started buying organic foods, which allowed us to purchase at a level that we could no longer purchase as an individual. That was less money. We started that in her practice because her patients couldn't afford to go to Whole Foods. And we would buy in bulk, break it up and share it. After that, we started buying from local farmers. We can do this too. But what we discovered with the local farmers, that there wasn't really many local farmers. So we ended up into, well, if we're going to feed ourselves, we can't keep going to the places that's not committed to our health. We need to learn and teach ourselves how to grow food to feed ourselves. So my wife's practice is centered around holistic healing. The plate is the most important thing, as she said, tell us every single day, even though it's a hard discipline because there's so many things to support you to not do that. That's why it's important to establish a community, not just a community location, but a community that's committed to eating what allows them to have the highest level of life possible. So my wife has been doing this long before I met her, and that's her commitment. And her practice is in Chicago, and she's we decided to create a space where we can help our community be healthy, whole, back with God on the land, eating organically grown foods or biodynamically grown foods, which is a distinction that organic don't always carry because biologically intensely grown food can have even more nutritional nutrients in it than organic only. So my wife is the cornerstone of this conversation that we're having.
What? It's called Mother Nature.
Mother Nature.
Right.
Yes.
And you as Father Time got the clock and the watch to let us know what time it is in the world in order for us not to run out of time before Mother Nature reverses all of the things that she has given us. So just like those 7 and 8 year old girls came menstruating to her, she was able to begin to guide them the organic way to regenerate their bodies that was about to be totally destroyed. This is the part of the program where we talk about the description. That's why I wanted to introduce the doc work into it so that all of the things that we were talking about that they see, the audience can hear and see with their mind's eye, that there's a program ongoing right now. We're not talking about something we're thinking about doing. We're talking about what's taking place right this minute as we talk. As you have provided for school children through your food program as well and through your lunch program to begin to educate. But now with the Yehuda Project, the Yehuda Project is providing this alternative because we wanted them to see that even though they didn't know it, I was working for the Yehuda Project long before I knew the Yehuda Project. Because I'm a Judean, a Judah by nature, and by birth and spirit, I went around the world as the ambassador for God to connect the dots so that when it was time for our people on the second wave to leave out of here, that we would leave out with great substance, as it is spoken about in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis that we read about. And after we served time here, we would leave out and return to our land, because remember, the promised land is from the river Euphrates and the Tigris all the way down to the Nile River in Uganda, Uganda. So you don't have to be just in one little part of it, from the Nile to the Euphrates. And the White Nile runs over to Central Africa, and the Nile runs down to East Africa, to Uganda. Now, I said that to say that this is a learning program, a teaching program, but also to talk about the theme or the motto of Better World. It's a program where you must do the work. It's not enough for us to talk about it on this program. The listeners got to do their portion, and one of their portions are to support Better World, to support the efforts that we're putting forth. And we will be posting on the website the ways in which our people can help. And one of the first things we want to do is to identify the people who got skills that can be used for new world building. So I just wanted to put that in the hearing of the people. Now, I asked Prince El Ram to read for me, and I want you to go to the 83rd Psalm first, and then to the 82nd.
Talking about 83rd Psalms.
Yes, sir.
And the caption is a prayer against enemies.
This is how we gonna fight the enemy. You don't need guns. You don't need bombs. There's a way in which the Creator has instructed us to fight. One of the ways to fight is what Fred has been talking about this evening, about the new relationship with the soil and with the organic matter, the cosmic matter that make us who we are and what we are. So this is another way we're going to fight, and then identify the enemy. Read.
Keep not thy silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance.
I want you to read that one more time.
Keep not thy silence, O God. Hold not thy peace.
We're praying to our God right now not to be quiet anymore. Read on.
Be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head.
And they that hate the spiritual man and woman that you created to be a light unto them, the enemies hate them. Read.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people.
They have come together to consult. How do you destroy this original man that will establish righteousness in the earth? Remember, there were two trees in the garden. The tree of life, that was you, and the tree of good and evil, that's the enemy. He said, the day that of that tree, that knowledge, thou shalt surely die. And we've seen death today. And for the last 6,000 years, we've been witnessing people are eating from the tree of good and evil, and they're dying. Read on.
They have consulted against thy hidden one. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. That the name of Israel.
Stop the Yehuda nation from coming into existence. There's a plan to prevent us from coming into existence. But they cannot win because it's been predestined by the Creator. But because we've lost touch with the Creator, it's like a broken radio. It don't mean that there's nothing out in the air to hear, it means that you don't have the receiver to pick it up. And that's why the change of diet, that's why we don't use the word diet, because diet and diet, we use the word living. When your mind is alive again, you will be able to pick up what's blowing in the wind, as Sam Cooke said. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. We first started on this airway that everybody can hear. Even though I'm in another city and they're in another city, they can hear my voice and Fred's voice and other voices that's going to be heard. Read on.
They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Let the name of Israel be no more in remembrance.
Very few people ever even think about blacks as Israelites. And will argue down that blacks are not Israelites. Not because they know, because they've lost sight of understanding history. To know that it's his story that he's telling you, not your story. Read on.
For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee.
In 1884, there was a conference in Berlin, Germany. And the purpose of that conference was to cut up Africa, the land of wealth and opportunity, and to destroy the people. Got to understand how this is laid out prophetically and what it's going to take to reestablish it. You don't pray to die and then go to heaven. You build heaven on earth. 21st chapter tells you, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what we're talking about. Read on.
The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab.
The Ishmaelites is part of it. The Ishmaelites are part of this conspiracy to cut you off so that the name of Israel will no more be in memory. That means it's family. It ain't somebody that ain't family that's fighting. Because it said if you looked at the wheat and you looked at the tare, they look just alike. Your brother that's in the house with you is not your brother if he's destroying himself, which means he'll destroy you. Read on.
And the Hagarene, Gebal, and Ammon.
You know, I pray no more. I want everybody listening to go ahead and research all of those nations. See who they are today so you'll know where the enemies are coming from. We're not going to do all the work for you. We're going to set you in the path just like a university, and you go and do the research and study, and we're going to have the chat room that the Yehuda Project will set up so that you can begin to discuss what you've discovered from these informational conversations over the Better World Yehuda Nation Network. Now go to the 82nd Psalm so they'll know what kind of power they got to do what we're talking about that you read about in the 11th chapter of Hebrews.
God and the judges. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not.
Hold on a second. Fred and his wife answer that question to God by establishing a food and a health process that would take them away from death and dying. So I can say that we have already formed a team of God and goddesses to begin to turn it around in this new world order. Start again so that they'll hear it and let it sink in. The question is, how long God is talking to his created God and goddess? How long you going to keep complaining about bad food and bad soil and bad education? How long? Read on again.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked.
Well, that's what Fred and his wife are doing. They've taken us out of the hands of those who are feeding us bad food and giving us bad medicine and giving us terrible information. I'm going to bring angels before you every week to tell you what they're doing to fight on your behalf. I'm making angels real again. They're not winged beings. It says, be careful how you entertain strangers, because unaware, you might be entertaining an angel. Well, I'm telling you, we're going to bring those angels before you on this program, and they will let you know how God, through their work, is fighting for his people. Read on.
They know not, neither will they understand.
The people don't know what we're doing. They don't even understand what we're saying. But you do, and so you've got to repeat what you hear so that you can go out and begin to inform, to cry loud and stir not, to show God's people the evil of what they're doing and the right way to do it. Go ahead.
They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
Isaiah the prophet told you that darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But then it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. The light of understanding is coming across this program and Better World program and the Yehuda Nation program every week to shine that light in those dark areas so you can see clearly what's taking place and which direction you need to head. Go right ahead.
I have said, you are God, and the all
creator,
of you are the children.
I'm not saying you are God. God of God is saying you are God. Let me say that again. I'm only repeating what God said. He said it to me, I'm acting like a God. I'm saying it to you, act like a God. I'm talking to Fred because I saw the God in him and his wife and the work they was doing. So it takes one to know one. And I thank God for the work that he has ordained and authorized them to do. That's how you see God. Somebody that's going to give you life and sustain life. Who else gives life but God? And somebody giving you the best food is a God giving you the food to eat. But we understand that don't nobody want you to say God because they don't want you to know that you got a relationship with the God. Read on.
You are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
You don't believe that you need to eat organic and to eat better and to eat from the earth, then you don't die like anybody else. Read on.
Arise, O God, and judge the earth.
And you,
for thou
The earth is being judged now. I am not judging the earth because we build it an alternative to the existing system of death. So now you're going to have a choice between the profane and the holy. Life and death. Moses told him, you choose. I come before you this day, and I put before you life and death. You choose. And then Moses gave them the answer. Choose life and live. But guess what they did? They chose death and died. Read on.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Judge the earth, and when you do, the whole creation will come back under your authority. Remember, everything that exists on this planet, men and women did it and running it right now. That's what Hitler was trying to do. He wanted to institute what he called a Third Reich. That's what Lenin and Marx wanted to do. They wanted to institute a socialist system to control the earth. And they got many countries to follow their doctrine. Well, who's pushing the doctrine of the God of Israel to restore life back to this planet and make this earth paradise again for the human being? That's why we are called human beings. We got to be that, not human doing or thinking about it, but a human being what they say they want to be. Fred wanted to be a farmer, he's a farmer. His wife wanted to be a doctor, she's a doctor. What do you want to do to help in the new creation of life on the planet? When you answer that question, send us an email to the Yehuda Nation so we can file you as one of those angelic forces that's on the earth ready to do the work. Read on.
I think
that was the end of that. Yes. So I just want to say on the prescription part that we have done today, we got about another 10 or 15 minutes on the program, so I want to turn it back over to you, Sister Yanina, to see if there are other questions that you want to put out there, or if there are announcements that you want to make, and if that Fred can answer any questions on his presentation tonight. And I'm going to ask him if he's willing to return from time to time to give us additional ways in which we can begin to do what he know God has instructed him to tell us and to teach us what to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to let everyone know if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push one. I wanted you to clarify some things because I've heard some people have brought it to my attention from a couple of the other shows when you made the announcement that this is a new world order. You know, when they hear those words, they automatically think about the beast and the system, the one world system that we believe that is being set up by the anti-government against us. But, you know, if you could clarify when you say new world in what it, how it pertains to the Hebrew so that the people don't get that confused.
Well, you see, that's the trick. That's why we started off talking about the Wheaton attack.
Mm-hmm.
They look alike. They sound alike. If God got an angel, what they can call his workers? Angels. If we don't understand that as the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they're both trees. But the tree of good and evil means that it's a hybrid. The good or you evil. But because the Creator said Satan was the most subtle beast that he had created, because he needed to challenge you to think if you were going to just do good, that's why the first agreement was obedience. He said to the created man, Adam, Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they asked, what did God say? He was confused because she didn't get it right, or she didn't listen to it right. So she went back and told Adam, you ain't going to die. When Adam knew that the agreement he had with God was obedience to what God said, not what he said. Because she was talking to somebody else. What's the first thing that when they ate of that tree of good and evil, God came checking on his creation, and Adam was hiding. What would you think if your child was hiding from you when you came home? I'm asking you, Sister Yanina, what would be the first thing you would think if your child...
I'm sorry. Ask me again, what was the question?
What if you came home and your child was hiding from you? What would you think?
I would think there was something wrong with him. I would have to try to answer the question, what's wrong?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And guess what Adam did when God asked that question? You remember
what
he said?
He said we was hiding, yeah.
What? And he said, why? We are afraid. Afraid of me? I'm your father.
Right, right.
And he said, well, what happened? Adam then said, the woman you gave me did this to me. First thing he did, he cussed out. He wouldn't even be a man. He punked out. He wouldn't say, I sent her down there to check on what was really going on down there. And because I knew that I wasn't supposed to go down there, but I thought you would have mercy on her. And I, self-deception.
Right,
Adam
that special woman. That special woman you sent.
Right. Blamed it on God.
We always get blamed for everything, though. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Not anymore. That's why 10, 11 years ago, we did the confession of Adam and the acquittal of Eve.
Uh-huh.
You're not guilty anymore in the new creation. We don't have this male-female consent with the new woman and the new man.
Correct.
Because new men are secure, and if I'm a god, you're a god. If I'm a king, you're a queen. If I'm a prince, you're a princess. If I'm smart, you're smart. Because you came out of me.
Exactly.
Why would a smart man want a dumb woman?
Yeah.
Why would a smart woman want a dumb man? We've been unequally yoked to each other. Well, he was tall. I liked him because he had curly hair. Wrong attributes to be picking a man or a woman from. You're supposed to go to the heart, to the spirit of what makes that person be in harmony with the creation.
So don't blame this
nation that we're building with no woman. And that's why we make all the brothers be equal. When I say prince, I don't mean I'm above any other brother. I mean I've identified myself as a servant to my God and my people.
Uh-huh.
Every brother out there can be a prince if he want to be a servant to the God of Israel and God's people. And every woman can be a princess if she want to be a servant to her God and her people and in harmony with her man. So it's simple. Uh-huh. It ain't complicated what we're doing in a better world. We're building a better world. So if they feel... I'm talking about the 21st chapter of Revelation, where I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the old had passed away. I ain't talking about nothing from the past being in the future. So whatever they read about the Antichrist and the one world government, that's who we fighting. But you'll fight it with truth. And you fight it with doing. What you're doing at the Yehuda Nation made me know you were the real deal. I didn't have to ask you a lot of questions. I didn't need to know. When you told me that you went back to your DNA that took you back to King David, and when God called you out of the church, you were obedient and came out after all of the years that you had been in it and family had been in it. I knew then who you were. I didn't need to talk to you about religion. You were clear.
Right.
That wasn't it.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You don't need to ask me a lot of, you know, your ABCs. Yes. And when I said that, you didn't need to test me because I had proven I can touch it a world from those words spoken invisible to me, and I went to Israel to do it. So who else was doing it in Israel but those of us who went to Israel if you're an Israelite? Well, it ain't time. When it's not time to go home, I went there to build me a house. I didn't go there to live in somebody else's house. God promised us a house that we wouldn't build, we would live in that wouldn't build. Well, I wanted to be there to get them. I couldn't get them from over here. I couldn't get them from over here.
Uh-huh.
You got to go where the probate court is being held if you got an inheritance.
That's true.
I know that's true.
That is very true.
The Bible is a legal document.
Yes,
God
it is.
Says,
absolutely.
If you do this, I will do this either then and now. Conditional. You don't just get it. Which is things that we will go over in the coming days as well. So that's what my answer is to that question. If I left any part ambiguous, you can tell me not this.
No, I think that you answered it very clearly, and I think that the people have to understand the importance of the Elohim. And
no,
you
they
know,
don't.
That's something that we have
Let
been trying to get them to understand from the very beginning. I think that because we are operating on such a low frequency that we don't understand the power of the Elohim, the male and the female, the woman and the man. It's in the plants, it's in the animals, it is in everything that there is male and female. And I think the reason why, well, I won't say I think, I know the reason why this is so powerful is because even with the Yehuda Nation, the Nation of Yehuda, the Yehuda Project, we have made sure that we have kept that those dynamics there, the male, the female, the male, the female, the male, the female, the female, the male. It has to be that combination has to be there because one complements the other. So I think that what is working now as opposed to what was trying to work then was it was male-dominated then. But now the Most High is allowing for the feminine energy to be platformed, and it's balancing out both of the two so that the Elohim is in a creative position to be able to make things happen.
You see, that's why I went back to the original. They were one in the beginning. The split came when Adam tried to get slick, self-deception, and front the lady off. Don't you know every prostitute on the street got a man that put out there?
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
So
yes, sir.
She go out there on her own. Adam sent her. She ain't just went wandering off. And if she did, read the curse again. She got cursed too for whatever she did, she didn't escape either. Adam didn't escape. She didn't escape. But I'm going back to the process. So I'm saying, it ain't no war between us.
Correct.
Not at all. And I'm not going to let it be. I'm not going to let me have a war between no brothers. It ain't going to be no Cain and Abel in the world we built. We're going to bring the brothers and say, okay, you got to complain against me. Say it publicly. Because that's what the system did. Everybody know what Bill Clinton did in the White House, don't they?
That's right.
Not, well, you're the president, we can't talk about it. And the young lady that was involved had her day to say what she had to say. Is that right?
That's true.
So, anybody got anything you got against me, say it publicly. But remember now, I'm going to give a response. And you're going to have to respond to me too now. That's the way it goes.
That's right.
You point one thing at a person, three of them are pointed back at you. I don't expect everybody to like me or agree with me or understand me. I know I got enemies. Who are the enemies? You just got through reading about them in the 83rd Psalm. Keep not thy silence, O God, for though thy enemies make a tumult. Who are your enemies? Your brother. Your brother, Ishmaelite. It's a family affair. It ain't some strangers that don't know me that's going to talk about me or say something about me. It's people that say they love me going to say that. But they ain't ready for me to respond to them. Because I don't have nothing to hide. I'll fall on my knees and ask for mercy from my God and my people in a minute.
Hallelujah. And that is the earmarkings of a great leader. I mean, you have to be able to say, I'm man enough to apologize, but I'm strong enough to say I'm sorry. You know, and that is where you tear the enemy down every time, because they come to kill, steal, and try to destroy. And you have to understand that you cannot do that as long as those compositions are there for you to be able to do those types of things, because, you know, it breaks up the fallow ground. It softens the heart. And that's when we move. I've been trying to tell them for years as I came into the Hebrew movement, it's about love, and we have to learn how to love one another, because without that component, we are wasting our time.
I named my daughter Ahava, which is love. Because I needed love in the midst of me all the time. I named my other daughter Joy, Alisa, because I needed joy to be in the midst of us. We're not sad people sitting around reading the Bible day and night and thinking that God wants that. Make a joyful noise unto me. Celebrate. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Having fun ain't doing cocaine and all that stupid stuff. That ain't fun. You can climb in the temple. The temple ain't bricks. That's why Yeshua said, if you tear it down, in 3 days I'll build it back.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this guy? Somebody, it took 75 years to build that temple.
What
are you talking about that? Oh, you have little understanding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As we move on, I want to close out, Elram, with Ephesians. The sixth chapter, I think it is, on the warrior's resources.
Prince, you mean the warfare of the spirit-filled believers?
Yeah, that's the one I want.
Okay. That's Ephesians 6th chapter and the 10th verse.
Yes, sir. Start there.
And it reads on this wise.
These are the weapons I want everybody listening to arm themselves with if you're going to be a warrior for truth. Read.
The warrior's power.
The warrior's power.
Finally, my brethren, the strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Be strong in knowing God, the real God. Read.
Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Now, you're going to have a fight, so you got to be prepared to stand against this powerful, powerful force called evil. Read.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
You ain't just fighting physical something.
That's right.
I saw somebody going to say something negative about Prince Oscar. Well, if you knew what I knew, you should ask him. I just talked to the sister the other day. She told me, brother told her that he came to a meeting I was teaching at, and when I walked in, even though the brother was praying, I stopped him from praying the prayer of God. I said, oh, yeah. Why would I, if I'm not smart enough to find out what's happening before I go in the room, and I would wait until they finish praying, they right, then I wouldn't be worth nothing. And when she heard it, she began to say, because I know all that kind of stuff is out there. All kinds of things. Read on.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world.
Look who we up against. Look who we up against. Principalities, powers, the rulers of this world. Read on.
Against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Spiritual wickedness in high places. In the heaven realm. Stay up there. Because remember, the cherubim was placed outside of the garden to block entrance back to God. Only one could access that, and that's the seraphim level. And Satan was described as a cherubim. But he was in the service of God. Satan ain't built no world. He just took those that refused to do what their creator told them to do. So, yeah, control them if you evil. He got control of you. He didn't have no control of me. When they drug me into the federal court system, I was just like Daniel. Daniel got drugged into the federal court system of Nebuchadnezzar's empire and was thrown in the fiery furnace. But when they looked in there, they put three in, but they saw four in there. And the fourth was likened to the Son of God. And they came out. And I'm saying, I've come out of every challenge that I've been in since I've been an Israelite, no matter what it was, whether it was schools in Africa, whether it was prison in Africa, whether it was whatever it was, because I knew how to humble myself and seek God's mercy. Read on.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about you with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
Truth and righteousness. Okay.
And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
No, I come in peace. That's why we started this program off with an apology to anybody that thinks that we're against them, including our brothers and sisters and family in Dimona and Arad and Mizpeh Rimon and any place else in the world where we are. I started off bringing peace, an offering of peace. Read on.
Above all, taking the shield of faith with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
My faith is that somebody may come after me, but my faith is that I can quench all of those darts that's going to be thrown at me with truth. That's all. Read on.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit.
My
is the word
brain
of God.
Is telling me about saving my people. The helmet of salvation. All I'm talking about is saving God's people and then the world. Go ahead.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication
in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
I pray in the spirit when I'm walking, talking, laying down, getting up. I'm always praying in the spirit. I ain't never without prayer around me. I don't need to throw my hands up and fall on my knees in the public to prove that I'm praying. Always praying in the spirit. See, we didn't got into rituals, and we think that's what God wants. That's not what God wants. Not the way I understand it. And so I do it the way that it brought me power and blessing. Read on.
And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly,
boldly
to make known.
Like I'm doing right now. Boldly. I ain't whispering. Boldly. Read on.
To make known the mystery of the gospel.
I'm telling us right now, all of you that you may or may not have heard about, I'm letting you know the mystery. And the mystery in Scripture is a previously hidden truth. Read on.
For which I am an ambassador in bond.
For 40 years I was the ambassador of the kingdom of God and went all over the world. My title was Shagrib Ben Leumi, Extraordinary Plenipotentiary, which means I had the power to make decisions on the spot by the power of the God of Israel. And I did that when I spoke to the kings of the earth and the queens of the earth. Read on.
That in this I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But then you also may know my affairs and how I do. Cassius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things.
Listen, you can stay and inquire. And I'm right here, and all of those around me, you can ask them anything you want. Whatever they say is what they think or believe, but then I'll answer whatever they say as it relates to me. So I just wanted to close out the program with that kind of arming of the people that are listening with perfect faith and perfect confidence. And Fred, I'd like for you to have the closing remarks before we close out.
Oh, man, this is beautiful. I just want to thank everyone for being open to the possibility of a world that supports us. And the willingness to create that is a gift. And I want to thank you, and I'm committed to being a part of that at whatever level I can be to support the building of the new world, because the old one that we all know is gone. And the building of this new world have to come from within us. Nobody's going to build it for us. We have to build it ourselves. That's the future. That's what's unfolding now. That's what the commitment is to create a new world that supports and self-sustains life. That's what God wants us to do, is to create the new world. Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. And please give your beautiful wife my love, my blessing, and that I'm looking forward to her great healing hand assisting me on this journey that I've taken. And I'm so thankful that you reached out for me during my times of need to sustain me and keep me going. So I just want you to know, and I want the world to know, that I trust you, I trust her, and I believe in you, and I believe in her.
The same with you, brother. The gift that you are to be maintained. And anything that my wife and myself can do, because the turbulence that we're moving into, you'll be most needed. And thank you, Bob.
Thank you. And El Ram, I want to close out with...
Prince Asiel, yes, we have someone that pushed one. Would you like for me to open up their mic?
Please.
Okay, one moment, please. Area code 215, you are on the air.
Good evening. Good evening, Prince Asiel, Prince El Ram. I just thank God for your honorable men and for what you're doing and you're pouring out into us this evening and being willing to give of your time to teach us. And I'm just forever grateful. I've been listening throughout the entire program, but something that you said very shortly ago really struck me, and I just wanted you to elaborate on it. Being a person that's becoming conscious, coming out of Christianity, not necessarily coming away from God, but just the teachings of Christianity. A few moments ago you said, I'm always praying in the spirit. Now, what I've been taught praying in the spirit was speaking in tongues, praying in unknown languages, praying in your heavenly language in which no other man can interpret. And I didn't gather from the statement you made that that's what you meant. So not out of ignorance, but just for clarity, this is a perfect time that the subject has come up that I can ask the question and get a righteous answer. So can you please elaborate on, you said you're always praying in the spirit. How are you praying in the spirit? Is it something that you do? I heard you say getting away from rituals. I was real clear on that. But how do you teach someone to always pray in the spirit? Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you for that question, and I really appreciate it. You know, when I was growing up, I used to have my parents, particularly my mother, say, boy, you got to follow your first mind. And they used to tell me that my first mind was my God mind. And so when we went to school, it never was developing our God mind. So we learned the Greek mind. It had to be logical. They taught us logic. And so our thoughts were had to please somebody other than the Creator. When we started smoking, when I started smoking a cigarette at 12 or 13 years old, God talked to me by making me strangle on and talk. So when I started drinking, who likes the taste of whiskey? Who want to smell filthy? But because everybody was doing these things when I was growing up, we did it. So I had to go back to before I learned anything. Science then said, you don't know right or wrong until you're 20. That part of the brain don't really develop. And I remember growing up, they said, life begins at 40. And I really never understood that until later on, when I begin to understand the spiritual aspect of life. I'm saying, no, me speaking in tongues where don't nobody understand, who are you talking to? Since God got all of these languages that he's given people to develop, who would be speaking in tongues that somebody around them would understand what they're saying? So the reason that that didn't make sense to me was that I needed understanding for what I was saying to people who were God conscious and God ordained to guide me. I'm not a doctor, but the doctor got to speak to me in non-medical language so that I'll understand what the problem is in the language that I understand. You may say, watch a patella, and that means knee. But if you don't know that patella is knee, you wouldn't know what to watch. So this language that people can speak to you in that you don't understand, how is it helping you? So I'm saying, speaking in the spirit is letting God speak to your heart, not your brain that's in your head. And what comes out of the heart, that's why God said, I'll give you a new heart, a new brain, so that you can feel me and hear me and communicate to my people in a language that they can understand. So that's my answer to you, my sister. And I thank you for the question. Sister Yanina? Sister Yanina? Hello?
Thank you. Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay. El Ram, I wanted you to close out with Chronicles, if my people. That prayer. I like to close my portion out with that.
Second Chronicles, not there. 7th chapter, starting at the 12th verse. The Lord's second appearance to Solomon.
God's second appearance to Solomon. Now, how did God show up to Solomon? Did he show up as a man? Did he show up as a spirit? Let's see what he says to Solomon.
And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land.
Now that's what I'm talking about, that we as a people got to do. This was the answer that God gave back to Solomon for praying for the land and the people. Read it again. If my people,
who are called by my name,
Israel,
shall humble themselves.
You first got to humble yourself. Humility precedes honor, not arrogance. I know something. You don't know nothing. Honor. Whatever you know. Prove by demonstrating the goodness that comes out of what you know. Not the bad out of what I don't know. Go ahead.
Humble yourselves and pray.
And pray. Well, how do you pray? If you're praying in a tongue that don't nobody understand, and you don't understand it. The people that prayed in tongues, I asked them, what were you saying? I don't know. I was in the spirit. I don't know what I said. The point? If they didn't know what they said, then who was they talking to that knew what they were saying? That's some another kind of way for me. And I'm open to understanding what I don't understand. Go ahead.
Seek my face and turn from your wicked ways.
How do you seek God's face? What kind of face would God have? How big would his face be? How many eyes would he have? When he talks about, he got 1,000 eyes. He see everything. So I'm saying, it ain't talking like that. He's talking about, and I'm making it practical. If Fred grows food, and he's talking about organic, good food. For me, that's the face of God in agriculture. It may not be the only face, but I can trust that he's got God with him. I can say the same about his wife in medicine. She got God with her. It don't mean she know everything about everything and that everything she says is going to be like I want it to be. But I guarantee she ain't going to tell me nothing that's going to hurt me. Fred ain't going to tell me nothing that's going to destroy me about food. That's how I seek God's face. Read on.
Seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear
stop
from heaven.
Stop doing evil. Don't be talking about what I'm doing. You stop doing what evil you know you're doing. If you're doing it, and if you don't, help me stop doing my evil then. Tell me what I'm doing evil, and I'll stop it. Read on.
Then will I hear from heaven.
Then will I hear from heaven. I will then put it in your mind to do my will. I'll answer you. Read on.
And I will forgive your sins.
I will forgive your sins. Prince Asiel stole a piece of cake. Why'd you steal that cake? I just wanted a piece of cake. Why didn't you ask for it? I didn't think you was going to give it to me. From here on out, I'm telling you, you don't have to steal no cake. Ask me. Why'd you steal that money? I needed it to buy some shoes. Next time you need some shoes, ask me. You ain't got to steal my shoes. Because I'm duty-bound to give you some shoes if you don't have no shoes. My commitment was to clothe the naked, the hungry, set the captives free. That's my covenant with God, that when I find those people like that, I'm duty-bound to help. But God's people have been exploited because they did that. And somebody had evil intent. Just go ahead and ask them for something. So the people of God will say no to you because no is the real answer from God. So don't think that God says yes to everything anybody says. It's okay for you to tell somebody, no, I'm not going to do that. Because you've determined that ain't in your best interest or theirs. Read on.
Then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive your sins, and then will I heal your land.
God is the if and then God. If you do this, then I'll do this. If you do this, then I'll do that. It's an if and then God. To lay that out. And thank Sister Yanina and the audience for giving us time tonight to share what we believe are pieces of the puzzle in building a better world. And I want to bring our blessings and peace for our brothers and sisters in Israel during the time of these bombs dropping over there. I'm in touch with the families over there, and I'm keeping up every day so that they stay protected. And we're sending prayers to them that the Creator continues to watch over them and guide them. I got children, grandchildren, family, and all the people that's in Israel that I had anything to do with, my eternal love and protection forever. Sister Yanina, you can close us out. And
yes, sir.
If you got any last comments to make, or Nathiel Ram, before I close out, any comments from you?
Just want to thank you. I want to thank the princess. And we want to thank Baba Fred for that was an outstanding presentation, outstanding. And this brother is a prototype, okay? I'm trying to be like him, and I encourage a lot of us, as many of us as possible, brothers and sisters, to want to be like him and his wife. Not only are we going to be needed, but, man, we get closer and closer to God. That was outstanding, brother. I really appreciate that. Thank you,
man.
And I ditto that. I knew it from the time I met him and the time I met his great wife, that they were special in this earth. And I'm eternally grateful for them. Sister Yanina, I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I would like to also say the same thing. I concur. I have enjoyed this session. We have a lot of people that are still on the line. They are listening, and a lot of times they don't ask a lot of questions, but they're taking notes. They're writing it down. Also, I wanted to ask Brother Fred Carter if he had a website, if he would like to give his website over the air for those that may be interested in the program that you and your wife are running. Please feel free to do so before we end this this session.
The website is blackoakcenter.org, and that's BLACKOAKSCENTER.org.
Wonderful, wonderful. And on that note, we'd like to say thank you so much for Prince Haciel being on the show, Members of a Better World. We're looking forward to building this better world and transitioning our people from America to Israel, from Egypt to Israel, from India to Israel, from Africa to Israel, from all over the world, because we're scattered in all the four corners of the earth, and we are preparing our people to transition back to the Holy Land. And on that note, we're going to go back to our song, and we hope that you enjoyed the show. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. We will also be here on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, myself and Brother Adonai. And we'd like to say thank you so much, Prince Haciel, for hosting your show. And we're going to play a song, and here we go. We hope you like it. Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Hang on to the world.
All right, Prince Asiel, are you still there?
Always.
All right, you want to give the last words to the audience?
Yes, I do. I want to thank God for you and let the audience know that it was an easy decision for me to make when I talked with my sister and she shared with me what her desires and goals were. And as a servant to my God and my people, I considered it an honor for her to offer me the opportunity to work with her and the Yehuda Nation and the Yehuda Project. And I was even more honored when she said that she wanted me to be in front of leading the Yehuda Nation to areas that she did not know. And she was willing to humble herself to be guided and be taught. So I knew that she was sent by the Creator to work with me to do what we want and need to do for our God and our people. So I wanted to acknowledge that and acknowledge you, and I thank you so very much, my sister.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. It's an honor to have you joining with us, someone that has the experience and wisdom that comes along with you. We feel honored to have you aboard. And we look forward to your show every week. And on that note, if that's your final word? Is that your final choice?
Yeah, that's my final choice.
That's your final answer.
My final answer is to let everybody know, to let their friends know, to join us and their people know, so that we can have our people all across the world know that we're talking and that they can participate. So please, everybody, tell 3 people to join us next week and listen in on the blog.
All right. Well, that's it. We'll say good night to everyone. Good night. Good night, everybody. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Bye-bye.
All right.